So can I ask you something here just for a second to start? I want you to think of someone that you absolutely cannot stand. Don't look at me, okay? But someone you just can't stand. You would never, ever, ever want to spend time with them. You couldn't imagine sitting down and having a cup of tea, because you don't drink coffee, a cup of tea with them. You can't imagine spending any time. You got that person in your mind? Okay? Yeah. Now, if you're super duper holy and you don't know anybody you can't stand, well, bless you, because you're probably lying. But if you can't think of an individual, maybe you can think of a type of person. Okay? You got it? Got it in your mind? This type of person or the individual. Now, let's say tonight you go to bed, and as you're sleeping, God talks to you. And he says to you,
Alberto.
Now, he won't call you Alberto, but I'm using it as an example. And he says to you, tomorrow morning, I want you to give that person a call, because I want you not only to take time to have a cup of coffee or tea or whatever with them, I want you to invest in that person, that individual. I want you to take time with that individual. I want you to become their friend. Okay? Are you following me? Now, let's stop being super spiritual here. What is your thoughts in your mind? You're like, I'm out of here. Hello, that's obviously God, not God. It's the pizza I had or something, or it's the enemy, because I am not supposed to be spending time with this individual. And we run. Let me tell you something. Somebody tried running one time. If you remember the story, they ran, and they ran fast, and he ran hard, and he jumped on a boat. You remember the story? And as he's on that boat, there were some issues that happened. They tossed him overboard. And he was pursued by a very great big salmon. The Bible doesn't say it was a whale, okay? He was pursued, and he spent 3 days in that belly of that fish, and he had a decision to make. He had a decision, either be digested or be obedient. He chose obedience. Go figure. We can't run when God calls us to do something. He calls us to go and talk to an individual. And I want to talk about that here today. Last week, Pastor Les talked about the Good Samaritan. Today, I want to talk about the Bad Samaritan. Okay, you following me? So what we're going to do is we're going to jump into our Bibles, and we're going to jump to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And we're not going to read all of this at once, but John chapter 4, and we're going to read through verses 1 to 29. But why don't we pray together, and we're going to read this as we go through this portion. Father, thank you for today. God, thank you for this drama. You know, Lord, we think about what Jesus did for us, and how he, while he was on this planet, how he met with some pretty difficult situations. And even though people didn't want to accept him, he still went out and healed them. He still went out and delivered them. He still went out and loved them. And God, you're calling the same thing for us today. Lord, help us to understand what that looks like. And as we look at this portion of scripture here this morning, would you speak to our hearts? Would you open up our minds and help us to receive from you? So, God, that what we hear and what we see in your word today, that it would be applicable to what we do tomorrow for your honor and for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you today about the outsider. And we're looking, of course, at the woman at the well here, in the Samaritan woman here in John chapter 4. And in order to reach the outsider, there's a few things you and I got to do that we saw Jesus did at this time. We first of all, we've got to embark. We've got to go. We've got to get out of our comfort zone and go where God wants us to go and where God wants us to be. I'm not talking about jumping on a boat or jumping on a plane or jumping in a car, and maybe that might be it. But what I'm talking about is you and I have to be available to hear from the Holy Spirit to where he wants us to go and where he wants us to engage. So here it is, John chapter 4. We read about this place, the Lord calling Jesus, the Holy Spirit calling Jesus to go to a place where he would meet somebody very interesting. So John chapter 4, let's just read a couple of verses there. 4 to 6 says this. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down at the well. It was about the sixth hour. You've read this portion so many, many times, but let me just go through this with you for a little bit here. It's interesting that if you look at this from a Jewish perspective, you didn't go through Samaria. You know this. You didn't go in that area. And it says here, he had to go through Samaria. See, here's the thing. Let me just, I know a lot of you know this, but let me just bring you up to speed a little bit here. See, the Samaritans, as Pastor Les mentioned last week, the Samaritans weren't really accepted. They weren't really the kind of people you would do coffee with. Because here's the thing, years ago, these Jewish people, they went out and they got married to the Assyrians. And that was a no-no. You didn't have married into the Assyrians because now you're cross-breeding and you're bringing in their gods and who knows what would happen. But they did that. And so we've got this race called the Samaritans. And the Samaritans weren't the type of people the Jews liked. Actually, the Jews had a real problem with the Samaritans, and they would absolutely not allow any contact with them. Jesus had to go through Samaria. Let me ask you something. Where is God calling you to go? Stop and think, what is God calling you to do? Where is he calling you to embark to? Where are the areas that you need to be engaged in? Sherry's here this morning. I saw her someplace. I love going onto the street of Surrey with her and her camera. You've seen the videos that we've done occasionally. I love doing that kind of stuff. Now, that's me. That might not be you. But I love that because I love going where the people are at. See, where these guys are, what you guys are doing, this is fantastic. Right in the middle of where the people are at. Now, you may not be going to the library in Vancouver and doing drawing, though I'm sure they would welcome people to be there with them. Amen? Hallelujah. Right? So you're allowed to go. Okay, come talk to them later on. Go to their booth at the end. But whatever God is calling you, you need to go. You need to go. One of my favorite places to visit, not because I ever want to live there or go there. Okay, I just want to clarify. This is not a place I want to spend a lot of time. But I love to visit is a prison. Okay? Now, some of you think maybe I should spend a little bit more time there, but anyways, I like to visit, and I love leaving. The last time I was there, actually, was interesting because I got to go in, and as we waited to get into the actual prison courtyard itself, I had a good chat with a chaplain. Wonderful lady. Had a great opportunity to talk to her and just ask her a few questions and talk about the weather and stuff. I don't know if you would want to go to her church. She's a Wiccan. And it was interesting because I learned some stuff from her. And I really appreciated the opportunity to talk. You got to go where the people are, even if it's uncomfortable, folks. Are you hearing me? You got to go when God calls you. Jesus had to go to Samaria. And he, in order to go, you've also second, you got to be looking. It says in verse 5, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given his son Joseph. And it says he sat down at the well. It was about the sixth hour. It is noon. It is the hottest time of the day. See, in those days, and you are well aware of this, the city would be built around the water source. It was the place that you would live near. It's hot. Anybody here been to Palestine, that area? Anybody Yeah, yeah. I heard it's pretty warm, right? Am I correct? Yeah, yes, yes. Warm, hot, cold, snow. Like, it's hot. Thank you. So it gets really hot. So they build this town around the water source. And it was more than just a water source. It was the source of town gossip. This is where you'd come. The ladies would come around, and probably some men. But ladies would come around, and they would talk, and they exchange stories, and they would talk about the latest fashion and the latest new prices at Safeway or whatever. And they'd come around there, and they would chat and stuff. So it was really a hub for the town. But you didn't come there in the heat of the day. Now, I want you to understand something here. This was Jacob's well, where Jesus was sitting at. This is not in the center of the city. This is on the outskirts of the city. It's outside where people usually didn't go, certainly not at the heat of the day. And it is not the place you would go to have a chat and gossip and all that stuff. It was maybe a place that you would go to feed your animals to get them back out onto the field. Not the place most people would go, but it was the place where Jesus was at. And Jesus was there because he knew someone was about to come. He knew that there was going to be this lady. This lady that maybe she came there because maybe the being in the inner well, the well inside the city, was the place the gossip was occurring, and that gossip was about her. Maybe he knew her pain and the challenge that she was going through. Maybe he knew that she was the outsider. Folks, are you looking? Are you watching? Are you observing those potential opportunities where the outsider is coming to? Do you see, if you're a student, that the student that's sitting alone at the table and nobody else is around him? Do you see the senior that is sitting on that bench? Every single day he's sitting there alone, and nobody's coming around. Do you see that person sitting on the street corner? He sits there every day. He's begging for money. You see him? Do you see him? Where is the Holy Spirit calling us to go and to spend time with the individual? Here she comes. Here she comes. Jesus is sitting by the well, and there she comes, water jug on her head. You know, Jesus said to his disciples after this encounter in John chapter 4, verse 35, he says, "I tell you, open up your eyes and look at the field. They are ripe for harvest." Folks, we need to open up our eyes and see that there is, God's got people all over the place that desperately need to hear from you and I. Are you following me? You're allowed to say amen. You're allowed to engage. I'm looking if anybody's sleeping. If you are, I will call you up by name. You're allowed to engage here this morning. The truth is, God is calling you and I to engage within this hurting world around us. So embark. Embark. Secondly, yes, we need to engage to reach the outsider. Verse 7 says, "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?'" His disciples had gone to town to buy food. Now I want you to understand the significance of what's going on here. See, in that day, men didn't talk to ladies. Sorry, ladies. I'm glad you're here in this day, and I'm glad you're in this church, because we can talk to you and all that wonderful stuff. But they didn't do that in that day. They not only didn't talk to them, I mean, like, we talked about the Samaritans. They're not the fun ones. They're the ones you kind of, whoo, you keep away from, right? And so certainly you didn't speak in public to a strange lady. And in that day, if it was a Samaritan woman and you're alone, you're out of there. I'm gone. There is no way I'm going to take any time to talk to her. Are you kidding me? I'd rather talk to an animal. And that seems extreme, but that was the mentality back then. But he engaged with her right away. So how do you engage? How do you engage? I'm not talking about being engaged for a wedding, though I did a great one yesterday. I debrief. Back to the focus here. How do you engage with people in your community that need Jesus? Because, see, here's the thing. Every place you go, everything you do, unless you're locking yourself up in your house and you go from your house to your car to the church and back, and there are people that are desperately needing you to speak into their lives. And by the way, there are people in this church that need you to speak into their lives as well. How do you engage? And you know what? You may be surprised. I was bringing some bottles back a few weeks back, and I was bringing them to this the bottle depot, and there was this guy that walked up to me, and let's put it this way. He probably hasn't used a bar of soap in a little while. Just saying. He lived out in the bush, and he had his stuff all piled up on his bicycle and that, and so he was taking some stuff over into the bush. And, you know, we engaged in a conversation. And, you know, I challenge you to sometimes talk to people that live out in the bush. I challenge you to do it. Or just, you know, if you got, take 5 or 10 minutes. Okay, not if you got, because you never got 5 or 10 minutes. But take some time and maybe buy them a hot chocolate or a cup of coffee from McDonald's. But sit, because they're quite intelligent, some of them. Engage with people. And Jesus, what does he do? He engages right away in a situation that was absolutely applicable to this conversation. He says, look, I would you give me a drink of water? Now, I want you to stop and think of what Jesus was asking her. Can you give me a drink of water? He knew that this woman has had 5 husbands and living with the guy right now. Now, okay, let me ask you this. If someone on the street, and you're walking on the street with your water bottle, and someone on the street who looks like they haven't taken a shower or a bath in about 3.5 months asks you for a drink of your water bottle, what would you do? Honestly, what would you do? Don't answer that. You're saying, hallelujah, I would give it to him, and I'd empty my pockets and give him all the money. If you did that, praise God, you're a wonderful person. But what would we do? What would we do if we're eating our French fries and somebody asks, could I share your fries? And he puts his hand in your fries or your bag of chips, and he grabs some chips out, and he eats some of your chips, and you got to go put your hand in that same bag and pull more out. What would you do? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I would throw the whole, I'd give him the bag. I'd give him the water bottle. Jesus said, can you give me a drink from your pitcher? And you know, I think Jesus took a drink from her pitcher. And I'm thinking that she must have been sitting there and going, there is just something really wrong with this guy. Why would he ever, ever do something like this? It says she was shocked. Verse 9 says, the Samaritan woman said, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? It says, and just so we didn't get it, this is back in verse 9. It says, for Jews did not associate with the Samaritans. Just in case you're dull and you don't quite get it, listen, they just don't do it. And Jesus said, man, and he engaged with her. It's interesting, folks. There is a right way to engage, and there's a wrong way to engage. I was in Chicago a few weeks ago, and we were walking down a street, and there was a guy with this sign. You know the guys. They stand on the corners, and they got the sign, repent or burn, that kind of thing, right? And this guy was on the street corner, and I don't doubt his enthusiasm. I don't doubt his faith and all that. But he was saying to people as they were passing by, you are on the broad road. You need to get off the broad road of destruction. You need to, and I'm not making this stuff up, okay? I'm not making this up. You need to get on the narrow way. And I'm sitting there, I'm wondering what people are thinking right now. Those that don't have a clue what that narrow way or broad way is. And I'm sitting there, if I was walking by and I'm looking at them, I'm going, okay, narrow way. You want to get me in an alley. That's what you want. You want to rob me. Get in the alley. Broadway. Well, I know of a Broadway, and that's in New York, but maybe you want to get me into the middle of the street. Broadway of destruction. Oh, I know what you want to do. You want to get me in the street so I get run over by a car. I'm not going into any middle of the street, nor am I going into any alley. And people must have thought this guy is off his rocker. Folks, Jesus came to present a gospel of hope, a gospel of joy, a gospel of truth in a way that people understand. To this Samaritan woman, he explained it through a cup of water. Through Nicodemus, who came to him in John chapter 3, he explained it by saying, let me explain new birth. He used what was applicable at that time. And folks, we need to speak to people in a way that not only is applicable, but it doesn't turn them off, and it actually spurs their interest. It actually gets them thinking and wanting more. And her curiosity was piqued. Jesus answered her, and he says in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God, who it is that asks you for a drink, you have asked him, and he would give you living water. Can you hear that? She's going, okay, he's asking for a drink, and now living water. Now, what in the world is that? The curiosity is piqued. I think we got to be a little bit more creative. Are you with me? I think it's good to be a little bit more creative. And as Christians, man, we should have the corner on the market in creativity. I mean, our God is the creator. Isn't that not true? Is he not true? Is he not our creator? Are you still with me here this morning? And he has made us creative beings. And we should be creative in how we talk to people. I mean, you may have seen this clip, but I love this clip about a pastor that engages with someone and how he does that. I'm just going to show you this clip, if we can do that right now.
They say, Jay John, you know, what do you do? It's always very difficult to know what to say. Because if I say to you that I'm a reverend, which I am, that conjures up certain images in people's minds as to what I might be. So I like to be a little bit creative in telling people what I do. I sat next to this lady on an aeroplane at Heathrow Airport, and I said, hello. And she said, oh, hello. And I said, where are you going? And she says, I'm going to Singapore. Then she said to me, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Australia. I said, what do you do? So she told me. Then she said, what do you do? And I said, well, I work for a global enterprise. She said, do you? I said, yes, I do. I said, we've got outlets in nearly every country of the world. She said, have you? I said, yes, we have. I said, we've got hospitals and hospices and homeless shelters. I said, we do marriage work. We've got orphanages. We've got feeding programs, educational programs. I said, we do all sorts of justice and reconciliation things. I said, basically, we look after people from birth to death, and we deal in the area of behavioral alteration. She went, wow! And it was so loud, her wow, loads of people turned around and looked at us. She says, what's it called? I said, it's called the church. Isn't it? If we are a follower of Jesus, wow, then we are part of a global enterprise But not only is it global, it's intergalactic, because it includes everyone that's gone before us.
Wow.
Oh, man, isn't that great? I love it. I love it. You know, it really, what happens so many times as believers, we kind of sit in this fear thing. And, well, you know, we're scared to tell anybody that we're a Christian, because, you know, you never know what they're going to think. They're going to think we're the placard-carrying people, and we're going to beat them over the head with a Bible and all that stuff. You know, we should be really expressive and open and joyful about who we are. Right? Come on, really? Like, we should be excited about, are you excited about who you are? You know, tell that person beside you that you're excited about who you are. Come on, tell them. Okay, so was that really hard? Did anybody have a hard time doing that? Lord, there's a couple of hands. I'll pray for you later. As easy as that is, it should be just that easy about talking to people in your community, folks. About being excited about who you and I are. How do we engage? I read some really good things on the internet from pastors.com. First of all, to engage, start communications or conversations. Talk. Yeah, amen, amen. It helps to open your mouth and let those words come out, okay? Talk. Hey, how you doing? I love going up to people. Okay, here, let me give you a little bit of advice from an extrovert, okay? I'm a little bit of an extrovert. But I love to go to people and pretend I've known them for a long time. You know, it's been great seeing you. Hey, listen, what did you think about that game last night? Wasn't that something? It was great. I'm trying to find some kind of common ground. Talk to people. You'd be surprised. They probably will talk back to you. They may tell you to get lost, but I haven't, you know, honestly, in all the years I've done that, I've had very few people tell me to get lost. There's a few, but very, very few. Engage. Start a conversation. Secondly, hang out with people who enjoy doing the same things you do. Does anybody know what I like to do? For some reason, they think I like to fish. I don't get it. It's all that I ever talk about here. But find out something that is common that you like to do. And find out places you can do it together with somebody else. Man, I have no problem talking to a fisherman on the river, just having a communication. I have zero problem. Because we can talk about the hooks that we're using, the bait, and the type of gear and the rod. I'm using 11-foot graphite, and I'm using a Kuma reel. And I'm talking about all this stuff. And yeah, I like to. And we kind of, and then we can chat. So how are you doing? How are things at home? What's going on with you? And, you know, it's interesting. If you are hanging with people that like what you like, it doesn't take long, folks. It doesn't take long, and you'll find an outsider. You'll find somebody that's hurting that needs you to speak into their life. Thirdly, volunteer somewhere. Come on, volunteer somewhere. If you're too busy to volunteer, you're just way too busy. Then quit your job. Well, no, maybe not. Maybe there's some things that we're doing. Okay, can I say this? Oh, boy, I'm going to get it for this. Maybe you need to quit some of the stuff here at church. If you're too busy. Maybe we're doing too much church stuff and not enough God stuff. Because I think God wants us where the people are. And yeah, the people are here. But if we're doing, oh man, I'm sorry, Pastor Lisa, I'm really sorry. She's our volunteer intake and all that, but I'm sorry. We'll get more volunteers, okay? But find a place where you can engage in the community, folks. Fourthly, tell stories. I love talking, telling stories. I think telling stories is a good thing. People like to hear stories. They want to know that you'll hear their story. But they do want to hear our story as well. So be open about where you're at. Tell stories about your life, your family, even the Bible. You know, there's some real good Bible stories. Does anybody know that? There's some really good stories in this book that you can talk about without saying, you know, the chapter and verse. Stories will get people listening. Get to know your community by asking questions. I enjoyed my time with that Wiccan priest or priestess or chaplain, whatever you want to call her, I enjoyed. And you know how I spent my time? I asked her a lot of questions. I asked her what she is involved in, how I asked her about herself, about her background. I asked her, you got to get to know a person and not sit there and pray condemnation on them. Like, she needs Jesus. And it's not going to help if I come in there and go, witch. You know, it's not going to help. Right? It will help if I can develop a relationship with her and somehow get to know her and hopefully share Jesus. Invite others to join you. If you're scared to go and talk to somebody, take Harry. He'll go. Hallelujah. Right, Harry? I just volunteered. You got lots on your plate there, buddy. But take someone with you. Pray with others. You know, I have noticed that people who are unbelievers do like to be prayed for. Have you ever noticed that? Like, come on, you guys, even on the streets, you got to tell me that there are people that, even though they don't believe in Jesus, they'll let you pray for them, right? 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 They're nodding their heads, okay, just so if you don't see it. Pray for them. Hey, you know, I know you're going through a hard time. I know you don't believe all this stuff in the Bible and all that, but, you know, can I just pray for you? They may be the biggest atheist out there. I've had very few people, very few, that have said to me, no, don't pray for me. I've prayed with people in that are Hindu. I've prayed for people that are Muslim. I prayed with people that of all sorts of different backgrounds. They want to know that you would take time to ask some creator to bless them. Lastly, address physical and spiritual needs around you. Find out what's going on and don't be afraid to talk about it. Hey, you know, we've got this thing coming up. I don't know if any of you've heard of it, but there's this election thing coming up down in the States, right? You want to engage culture? You start talking federal election, American politics, man. You'll have all sorts of comments. Engage. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." She was sparked, and she says, "I want that." And she was enlightened by the words that God, enlightened by what God was presenting to her through Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." And she said, "I have no husband." Now, I've read many commentaries on this passage, and I don't necessarily think that this woman was just giving Jesus some information. I don't necessarily think that this woman was saying, I don't have a husband, you know, and she was ashamed. Okay, you may disagree with me with this, but that's okay, because you can be wrong and I can be right. I think this woman has had 5 husbands. She's living with a guy, right? This woman was a husband smart or guy smart. And she's looking at this guy, Jesus, and she's thinking, here's a guy who's out in the middle of nowhere at a well without a pitcher to draw water, asking me, talking to me, which is against the law, their law, and nobody else around. I think this is his best come online he's got. And I think she was probably standing there and going, he's not a bad-looking guy. I think she said, you know what? I don't have a husband. Yeah. And what do we do? What do we do? When we come into an uncomfortable situation like that, we run. Or at least we should, maybe, depending on the situation. We get away from, I'm not going there. It's interesting how Jesus responds. Jesus, in verse 17, says, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had 5 husbands, and the man you are now with is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. I love that. You know why I love that? It's because Jesus wasn't running. He was affirming. Do you get this? He was affirming her even in her sin. He says, you know what? You're right. She's like, what? What? I'm right? Yeah, you're right. I wonder the last time somebody said to her, to this lady, hey, what you're saying is good. It's truth. When was the last time somebody affirmed her? See, I think many times we run from the outsider and we run from those situations because we don't want to be defiled, instead of affirming the person and finding a way to bring in the love of Jesus, even in that dark situation. See, he says, look at, you know, lady, I know what you're going through. I know where you're at. I wish sometimes we had that same supernatural ability to know exactly what was going on in a person's life and in their mind. But what we do have, listen, what we do have, we have two eyes to see, we have two ears to hear, and we can observe a situation. And instead of running away, when somebody comes up to you and says, hey, listen, you want to buy some Coke? And if you haven't been offered Coke, you've never been on the streets of Vancouver, right? I'm thinking you guys got offered Coke once or twice, or some sort of drugs, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody comes up to you and offers you drugs, what do?
Are you kidding me? I do not touch that stuff.
And you better not, okay? Or somebody says, hey, listen, let's go out for a beer. If you're in Germany, you say, yeah, of course, let's go. But around here, maybe not so much. And we say, what do we say? I don't drink. Or no, I don't want, whatever it may be. Can I encourage you? I know this may be maybe a little bit difficult. But if somebody offers you something like that, how about saying something like, you know, I really appreciate your, okay, this is going to sound cheesy. I've tried it. It may sound cheesy, but it worked. I appreciate your willingness to give. I can see you got a giving heart. Well, that's not really. He just wants to give me Coke so he can get hooked. That's what we're thinking. But why don't we stop by saying, I appreciate your giving heart. No thanks, but I'd love to give you something. Maybe a little bit of my time. Maybe I can buy you a burger and just hear a little bit about you. Maybe, as you guys do on the street, a message of the hope and the truth that we have. I've had people ask me out for drinks, and I said, sure, I'll have a Coke. Oh, I have a Sprite. You can have your beer, but let's talk. See, I think that we need folks to be a little bit more like Jesus in this. Instead of running away, we need to sit down and engage. And then, lastly, there is that entreat. There's an appeal for a response. See, this woman saw it. She saw this guy, first of all, there was a whole dialogue, and I do encourage you to read this whole dialogue. And it was because of his willingness to listen to her that there was that room for the dialogue. But then she saw that he was willing to talk, to listen, to respond, to answer her questions. And she said this in verse 25. I know the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am here. See, folks, people need to be brought to the place where their questions are answered and we can introduce Jesus. I thought I'd get an amen to that. Okay, I didn't say it right. Let's try this again. People need to be brought to a place that they can, their questions are answered and they can be introduced to Jesus. That's better. That's better. They need to be in a place that they can hear about his love. And it says here in verse 28, she left her jar. She went back into town and said to the people, love this, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Now, just stop there for a second, okay? Just stop. She's known in town. They know she had five husbands. They know she's sleeping around. They know this chick, okay? They didn't come simply because, you know, she said the Messiah is there. They said, this guy has exposed her. Let's go hear it. And away they went. Oh, man, I thought I'd get a little bit of a response from that. The point is, there's something that tweaked their interest to get them to follow her to Jesus. See, because Jesus was willing to take time with this lady, this Samaritan lady, the bad Samaritan, if you want to call her that, became the first missionary. You following me? And that person that you thought about as I started my sermon today, that may drive you crazy, that may you just don't want to be spending much time around them whatsoever, may be the very person God wants to use to reach a world or reach a community around you for Christ. Folks, I want to encourage you here today. John chapter 4, verse 35. Let's jump there for in closing. It said, "Open your eyes," Jesus said to them, "and look to the field. They are ripe for harvest." Can I encourage you, open your eyes? Can I encourage you, look to the field? Can I encourage you, look around you and say, "God, who do you want me to be reaching out to? Lord, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And if he is an outsider, help me to understand how I can reach him or her for your kingdom." Father, I pray in Jesus' name right now that you would clear all this stuff out of our mind and you would put a picture in our mind of that individual that you want us to reach out to. Lord, you see him, you see her. You see where they are right now. They may be ones that we love dearly, or they may be ones that we just try to keep away from. But we have their face in our mind right now. And God, though they may not say it, though they may not necessarily think it, they're crying out for help. And we're the ones that you've called to bring that help to them. So Lord, I pray right now, would you, Holy Spirit, would you do something that no person, no sermon, no worship song, nothing could do. And that is, would you awaken in us a desire? Oh God, would you awaken in us a desire to reach out and love to that person? To be Jesus with skin on to that individual. To step out of our comfort zone. To step out of our prejudice. And to share Jesus with them this week. So God, now I pray that you would move upon this congregation. And Lord, if there are those here today that are the outsider, that feel that nobody really understands or cares, would you make it a reality to them how incredibly precious they are to you? And Father, I pray that you would bring around people around them that would support them, encourage them, and lift them up. So God, use us and help us to be instrumental for your kingdom in Jesus' name.